It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays and it will give you the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our op-eds and our Sounding Off with Kim Monson podcast. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that as well. Great show planned for you today. In studio with me is a new partner of the Kim Monson Show, and that is Hal Van Herke. Thank you so much. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Kim. Great to be here.
And your business is Castlegate Knives.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about a little bit more about that in the second segment, but it's great to have you in studio here.
Great to be back.
We're going to have some great conversations. Second segment, we will talk with Hal about Castlegate Knives. Third and fourth segment, we'll talk with Helen Raleigh. You know her. She immigrated from China. She's an author. She has written several different books. Confucius Never Said and The Broken Welcome Mat are two that you certainly would want to add to your repertoire. And then she writes for The Federalist. And she's had two very interesting pieces in The Federalist. So we'll talk with Helen Raleigh in segments 3 and 4. My friends, as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And now with this gamdemic, we're looking at this as freedom versus fear. And they're using this fear to force us to take away our freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And we need to be asking these questions. Think critically. Put on our thinking caps. What, why, when, how, where, and who. And so I want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. Producer Steve, you know, you are able to dance through a whole bunch of different things. We had a lot of things going on this morning, and I just want to say you do a great job.
I'm not a good dancer.
Well, you were this morning.
That remains to be seen.
But this great team that I get to work with, that's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people over here at Crawford Broadcasting as well. And to each of you listeners, thank you for listening. Be sure and let your friends know about this as well. And this show, it is replayed every day from 10 to 11 p.m. as well. And then all the podcasts and recaps are put on my website as well, so people can listen that way. But each of you listeners, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, and your mind and your body. So I thought for our inspiration quote for the day, since Helen's going to be on and one of her books is Confucius Never Said, that we would do a Confucius quote. And Confucius was a Chinese philosopher and politician of the spring and autumn period. The philosophy of Confucius, also known as Confucianism, emphasized personal and governmental morality, correctness of social relationships, justice, kindness, and sincerity. His followers competed successfully with many other schools during the Hundred Schools of Thought era, only to be suppressed in favor of the legalist during the Qin dynasty. Following the victory of Han over Chu after the collapse of Qin, or maybe that's Qin, I think it's Qin, Confucius' thoughts received official sanction in the new government and were further developed into a system known in the West as Neo-Confucianism. And he lived from 551 BC to 479 BC. And he said, this is what Confucius said, he said, it is easy to hate and it is difficult to love. This is how the whole scheme of things works. All good things are difficult to achieve, and bad things are very easy to get. Steve, what do you think of that?
I would go to the very beginning of human history and say that's pretty much the way it's been. It's, again, I always equate humans having an operating system just like a computer, and our OS, these issues that he just talked about have always been there.
They have, and that's one of the things about the founding of America, that they knew that human nature was constant from generation to generation. Hal, what's your comments on the quote?
Yes.
Well, one of the things it reminds me of is a different quote from Asian philosophy, which is from Buddha, which says, life is experienced like a wheel out of balance. And what he was trying to get at is that it's natural. The natural order of things is chaos and decay. And it takes purpose and motivation and a moral foundation and concerted effort to stay on the right path and to achieve things in life and to build things and create things, et cetera. And so, yeah, just as the individual is born with a tendency toward following the easy path, doing the easy things, maybe falling to temptation, et cetera, easier, and striving to do good things would be takes more effort. It's just part of nature. It's part of human nature. It's part of the world around us.
So in the founding of America, the founding fathers realized that. And so the type of government that they, you know, were striving towards was one where the individual, you know, all men are created equal, with these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those are noble things to work towards. And Hal, I feel that we're seeing things are coming into real clarity now. We have real decisions now between chaos and destruction, which, you know what, it's a lot easier to tear something down to build it up, or order and prosperity. It seems like we have a real choice right now, and it's not easy. It's not really easy to stand for this order and kind of the American idea right now, but what's your thoughts on that?
I think that's exactly right. I think that, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen any more clearly a choice between, as we get ready to vote in this November, a choice between one side of the political spectrum that believes in our traditional values, our institutions, our foundations, our common belief, our commonism as a citizenry, and another one that wants to tear that all down and replace it with something else. And I think it's very critical, and you see that in the actions. You got one set of group of people who are busy at work, busy building things, creating things, caring for their families, continuing to keep this country held together. You have another one calling for, you know, chaos and disorder and defunding law enforcement and flagrant disregard for the rule of law. And it's a very stark contrast, and the masks are off.
The masks are off, that's for sure. So speaking of that, Steve, do you have any other comments on that?
What a great segue into where you're going here. The masks are off. All right, carry on.
Okay, you have a soundbite that Governor Polis had a press conference, I think this was on Tuesday, and this is just very interesting what he is talking about, what he is comparing this scamdemic and asking our young people to stay home to what he's comparing this to. So, Steve, you've got that soundbite?
But in the scheme of things, for young people in their 20s and 30s, I know that what we're asking of you isn't easy, but it's important to put it in perspective that it is easier than what has been asked of Americans in their 20s and 30s at different times in our history. In my parents' time, many of my father's friends were called to serve in Vietnam. Many lost their lives. In World War II, our nation mobilized, and 20-somethings across our entire country put on our nation's uniform, went off to war, and too many didn't come back. What we need to achieve here to defeat this enemy, to defeat this virus and not let it destroy our health or our spirit, is to be smart, avoid large groups, and wear a mask where we can. We need to avoid hanging out in large groups and parties, private, public. Just hang out with a few friends. Might not be your preference, but it is absolutely critical for the success of Colorado and for the success of America. And I know that we are all on the side of America against this virus.
First thing I would like to bring to the governor's attention is that actually there were a lot of teenagers. It was really guys in their 17, 18, and 19 years old. So it really wasn't 20s and 30s. As many of you know, I have a show, America's Veteran Stories. And I've interviewed probably over 140 World War II veterans. And they were standing against tyranny. They were standing against submission. They were giving their lives for people that they didn't even know on far away from home. They were putting their lives on the line. When we look at the numbers of the reporting on this COVID-19, and COVID-19 Wuhan virus is a real thing. There is no doubt about it. And when it first occurred, I think it was prudent to take a quick pause to try to get our brains around it. But as we're starting to see the all the politics that are involved in this, with the tapping down of the doctors in front of the Supreme Court that have been using hydroxychloroquine very successfully to treat people, to have that tapped down, you know, on one hand, Governor Polis says that we want to get a handle on this. On the other hand, the politics of this are they want to seem to keep it going. And to actually say not going to a party is the same as storming the beaches at Omaha or Iwo Jima or Okinawa is, I think, actually really disrespecting the sacrifice that our young men and women have given over the years to stand against tyranny and submission. Hal Van Herkey, do you want to comment on this at all?
Yeah, I think that that's the kind of thing that only somebody who's never been there could say. You know, I don't think anybody who ever stormed a beach or served in Vietnam or performed any type of difficult service to their country under combat or was a family member that was close or within a close family that had a family member that did that would ever seek to make that kind of equation. I think that it's, you know, obviously he's trying to motivate people, but I think it's just indicative of somebody who comes from, you know, really doesn't understand what he's talking about in that regard.
Well, and speaking of that, I was actually giving a speech on entrepreneurship out at a middle school here in the metro area. And so it went to, you know, how did I start these radio shows? And I talked about going to Normandy with four D-Day veterans and just how that really changed my life and how important it was that we tell these stories. So I said, how many of you know about D-Day? This is a junior high school in the metro area. This was a couple of years ago. Not one student raised their hand. And so I think that actually, Governor Polis, what might be a good idea is that we make sure that we are teaching this history in our schools so that our kids know about this. And actually, he might want to do a little history lesson as well, because it wasn't really, I mean, certainly many of the soldiers were in their 20s. And the old guys were in their 30s. You know, they would call them the old guys. But I just actually recently interviewed a guy that 10 days after his 17th birthday, he joined the Marines. He said actually he kind of regretted that during boot camp. But and then he was at the Battle of Okinawa at Sugarloaf Hill, which I did the research on that. And it was pretty tough. And so to equate that with asking people to not go to a party, I think is actually somewhat disrespectful. Steve, do you have any comments before we go to break?
I just thought, you know, as I was trying to sort that out a little bit in that soundbite, why he specifically felt the need to address the 20s and 30-somethings. But just prior to that, he talked about, yeah, we all want to be out, you know, enjoying the nightlife, going clubbing, blah, 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 blah. But this is what you really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why he zeroed in on the 20s and 30-somethings like that.
Well, you know, and one other thing, as I was listening to sound bite on that last night, was I thought, you know, I'd like to get the current flu numbers. So I went to the CDC website, you know, I did a web search for that. And the most recent flu numbers that they have is from 2017. So how is it that we have a spot on number on all these COVID-19 deaths? And yet, on the other hand, the CDC doesn't have updated numbers through 2019 on flu. I found that just very interesting. So it seems to me like something fishy is going on here. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. And actually, yesterday, Patty and I went over and we saw the end of the Avalanche game. They won. And we actually gave $15 to this fabulous fundraiser that they're doing. They're running an in-store fundraiser through August 16th, And it is for the Sacred Heart House of Denver, which is a local charity, and it helps prevent single women and single moms and their children from homelessness. And if you go over to Hooters, you can donate at any of the five Hooters Colorado locations. And for $15, we get our name on the wall, or you can just round up your bill to the, you know, the next highest number, and you can actually get a free appetizer as well. So for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Hal Van Herkey, a new partner of the Kim Munson Show and owner of Castlegate Knives, is in studio, and we'll have a conversation about what he thinks.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get a first look at all the things that we're doing. And we'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. In studio with me is Hal Van Herkey. He is the owner of Castlegate Knives, a new partner of the Kim Munson Show. It's great to have you here, Hal.
It's great to be here. Enjoying my first time.
Enjoying
my first time, I think. Talking politics.
So, yeah, there's plenty to talk about. During break, we were going through the headlines, and you said, there's a lot that's been happening within just the last 48 hours. But before we get to that, I went out to Castlegate Knives. It is a really cool store, and I hadn't really thought about just the spectrum of the products that you have. And as I was looking at the website, a good utility knife is important for, people you mentioned in the first segment that are building things. Right. And so you have a wide spectrum of things. So tell us a little bit about Castlegate Knives.
Yeah, it's a family-owned business. We have a retail store located in Sedalia, Colorado, which is, about 15 minutes south of Highlands Ranch. Mm-hmm. And our whole philosophy, I guess it's kind of a throwback store to traditional values and traditional business. It's a family-owned store. It's located in an old bank building. It's 101 years old, one of the oldest buildings in Colorado.
Neat.
We carry a full line of American-made knives, ranging from basic knives, pocket knives you would carry with you every day that maybe your father had or that you carry in your pocket every day, to tradesmen's knives for various trades. We carry a lot of knives that are upgrade knives from the basics you might find in a big box store. So a lot of our businesses, guys that are tired of breaking, that use their knives a lot, tired of breaking that knife and want to come in and get something stronger and more durable that'll last them. And then we also carry, hunting knives, outdoor knives, camping knives. We carry knives for people who are getting ready to be on deployment in the military, so tactical knives, et cetera, as well as we carry a full line of several brands of kitchen knives.
Okay. So actually, I have a relative that's getting married here soon, and so I wanted to get some knives, and so a very nice steak knife set that you have. So there's gifts that you can give as well.
Right. Right. I'd say that everybody thinks that our store would be overwhelmingly, our customer base would be overwhelmingly men, but it's a lot closer to 50-50 than what most people would think. A lot of our biggest a lot of our base is actually collectors, and that's one thing I failed to mention is that we have knives that start at $9, but we have knives that go all the way up to $6,500 and things that are gold inlay and made by a famous maker and are really works of art that happen to be a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our biggest segments of the collectors is women. Women do a lot of collecting of the knives, and we also find more and more women carrying knives for personal protection or for convenience. Certainly than what I experienced as I was growing up. I mean, a lot of the women I know carry knives in their purse, et cetera, now for various things. But they also, overwhelmingly, we have customers that are mostly women coming in and buying gifts for people that are knives. Yeah, and so it's they're buying it for their friends, they're buying kitchen knives, they're buying it for kids' birthdays or for, we get groomsmen sets for wedding and, you know, and bride and groom sets for weddings and stuff like that.
So a young person that I know was in a wedding, and the groom gave them all like engraved knives, and he was absolutely thrilled with that. I know sometimes you end up with a tie or something like that. I mean, he was really excited about that.
Yeah, that's a big one that we get is grooms coming in to buy knives for their groomsmen for the wedding as a wedding gift. We also have a lot of people coming in and buying his and her knives with their name engraved on it or a date that they met, especially if they met doing something outdoors like camping or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to have like a commemorative knife or they get that for each other for their wedding or for an anniversary.
I hadn't even thought about that. So now how can people like get more information? I think that the website, you're working on a new website as well that's going to be even more expansive, correct?
Yeah, it's been taking us forever because we're a small little business. And our business has been good. You know, fortunately for us, businesses remained good and busy. So the best way to reach us, we are at www.castlegate.com. The website works, but the website inventory is out of whack right now. So you can look around, but if you really want to see what we have in stock, it's best to give us a call. And our number is 303-214-4303. Again, that's 303-214-4303. And we're in Sedalia, Colorado.
Okay. So is it by appointment or?
No, we're open. We're in Douglas County. We're open. And so we're open every day, 10 to 6. Monday, you know, 7 days a week. The only times we're closed is during major holidays.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you want people to know about Castlegate Knives before we talk more about what's going on here in Colorado?
I just think that I think our guest coming up is going to talk about China a little bit, right? So, yes, we have a battle going on in our minds about whether we continue to carry Chinese knives or not, or we stick only to American knives. And we do have a huge range of U.S. made knives. We try to carry every major brand we can if they're made in the U.S. We do carry a couple of lines that have some of their stuff made in China, but if you want to find U.S. made knives, then, you know, we have just about everything that's made.
And so, yeah, so you're deciding on what you're going to do.
There's a couple of very nice, very high-end Chinese knife makers. It's not the typical junk that you think of when you think of Chinese knives, but very high-quality makers. And, in fact, we were at SHOT Show this year meeting with them to talk about bringing their stuff in. And I'm certain that my wife was exposed to COVID. I mean, she's tested negative, but she had every single symptom for weeks, and she was absolutely out. Flat, the sickest she's ever been. So we think what we got from the meeting, we met with a couple companies from Wuhan.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, here, were they here or?
In Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they were all sick and wearing masks. And so I'm like, I'm not going to go talk to them. So she said, I will. So she went.
So she did?
And she was sick for weeks.
Really?
Yeah. So we came back from that. We'll put all these Chinese knives on hold for now.
Okay.
Until we figure out what's going on. But
did you get it?
I didn't get it anywhere near like she did. And usually she's the strong one in the family. So I don't know. But the minute she started showing any symptoms, we had already started hearing about it. So we just stayed as far away as we could.
Yeah. So was this early on during the whole thing?
This was in January.
Yeah. In January?
Yeah. So.
And these folks weren't feeling well in January in Vegas, huh?
And a couple of the companies that were supposed to be there from Wuhan were not there. Yeah. But it was before it all started hitting the media.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Very interesting, huh? Okay, well, you know what I think we'll do is we'll go to Jason McBride here. He'll be on here in just a minute because I guess let's do at least one more headline before we talk to Jason. Let's do that. Let's see, which one were we going to do? Oh, this one. This is from KDVR. COPIRG, which is it's a research group. It's I think it's a nonprofit. They are calling for a shutdown. The title here is Shut Down, Start Over, and Do It Right. COPIRG is calling for Colorado to reenact a stay-at-home order. And Rick Turnquist, who's on regularly, and his blog is to advancefreedom.com, did some research. And the person that is calling for this, Allison Conwell, she's a COPIRG advocate. They're calling to require mask wearing in all public indoor and outdoor places, along with social distancing guidelines. They're calling to reenact the stay-at-home order, ban non-essential interstate travel, issue a mandatory quarantine period for people entering the state from COVID-19 hotspots. And it wants those requirements to stay in place until the test positive rate is consistently lower than 3%, enough daily testing capacity to test everyone with flu-like symptoms, plus anyone they have been in close contact with, a workforce of contact tracers large enough to trace all current cases, and enough personal protective equipment to keep essential workers, such as health professionals, emergency responders, and grocery store clerks, safe. Interestingly enough, though, Rick did some research, and Allison Conwell donates on a regular basis to Democrats through Act Blue on multiple pages. And it's so interesting that this was never noted in this this piece, which goes to one other headline that Patty had, and that is that this is from Greg Jarrett. He said, a poll shows a sobering decline in Americans' trust of the news media. And that was before COVID and the Floyd death. So there is a distrust there. And I think that actually there could be a distrust of government as well. Jason McBride, what do you think about that?
Oh, I couldn't imagine that anybody would ever not trust the government 100%, Kim.
I knew you were going to say that. So, Jason,
you're gonna be in trouble for spreading dangerous misinformation.
You're
off Facebook, off Twitter. You're canceled.
Actually, we have had a few little challenges here and there, which is interesting. And you know, we really work to get to the truth on this, Jason. So. Anyway, market update, what happened yesterday?
Well, the market has continued to act pretty well, Kim. Yesterday was another very good day. The Dow was up 373 points. It actually broke above a little bit of resistance at around 27,100, which was good to see. The Dow and S&P have been playing a little bit of catch-up. The S&P was up nicely as well. That's already broken out, and the next achievement line for that would be is getting back to the old highs at 33.93, which is not too far away. It closed yesterday at 33.27, and then, of course, there's the show-off, the superstar, the NASDAQ, that is blasted, you know, all the way up from 6,600 at the low in March. It's blasted past its previous all-time high that was around 9,800 before all of this COVID stuff started. And yesterday actually got as high as 11,002.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it closed out at 10,998, up 57 points. So, pretty impressive market for as bad as things supposedly are.
It is interesting. You know, as you were talking about this, you and I talk every morning, and my gosh, you know, back when the NASDAQ was at, 6,600, you know, everybody, I think, was scared. There was fearful. You know, now is a good time to sit down and take your temperature on your portfolio. And you might consider, we're not giving advice, but you might consider maybe readjusting some things, because it's better to readjust things in strength versus fear. Jason McBride, so I'd recommend people reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management to do so.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I actually had a client do just that recently, and she expressed it almost exactly the way that you just said it, Kim. She's very concerned when the markets were down. She was happy that they had recovered and, that her money had also bounced back to some degree. And she said, boy, you know, I don't want that to happen again. And everything is up right now, so it's a good time to take some of that and let's put it into something safer. And I think that was a very smart move. You do it when things are high, not when you're panicked.
That's for sure. So to reach you and your colleagues over at Presidential, phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And then we have our great landing page together, AIR, AIRpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. And Jason, you are going to be hosting the show tomorrow.
Yes, I've definitely got some big shoes to fill and a couple of good, interesting guests. And it's quite an honor to be trusted to take the helm of such a tremendous, successful show, Kim. So I'll try not to embarrass you.
Okay, well.
And I have a comment there. We just hope that we keep it on the rails and it's not a smoking hole in the ground come 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, Jason, I really appreciate it. And then I will talk to you on Monday.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Have a great day. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knives, family-owned business right here in Colorado. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Helen Raleigh. You know her. She immigrated from China. She is an author of Confucius Never Said and The Broken Welcome Mat, as well as a senior contributor at The Federalist. And she's got a couple of different pieces out that we want to chat with her regarding China. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get first look at everything that we're going to be doing the next week, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our op-eds. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is my good friend, Helen Raleigh. You know her. She immigrated from China. She's the author of Confucius Never Said and The Broken Welcome Mat, as well as a senior contributor at The Federalist. Helen Raleigh, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
You write, first of all, you're an amazing writer, Helen Raleigh. The research that you do on these pieces is amazing. But you've had two pieces just recently in The Federalist, and they're both very important pieces. And the first one is basically that you're saying that China has maybe met their match with Trump. And so tell us more about that, Helen Raleigh.
Sure. So that piece is really related to explain the relationship, the deterioration of relationship between United States and China. So for a long period of time, I think the West really do not understand the true nature of the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. And so this, in the past, because they don't understand the nature of the CCP, the West always had this illusion. That the West continue embrace the Communist Party into the global community and open up the economy through international trade. The party will soften up, will embrace the liberal ideal, liberal values. So China may become more, become a democracy. People may enjoy more freedom. Well, in the last 40 years later, it turns out that that's not the case at all. And so because the true nature of the Communist Party is it's not going to change, it actually believes the law of the jungle, which means that might makes it right. And so when it only signs those deals, agreed to go join the WTO because the World Trade Organization to do things that benefit for them, and when it was still weak, But now we can see whether should how they handle the coronavirus, whether they should have a border dispute with other countries, with their neighbors, and their aggression through the South China Sea. It shows that once the Communist Party feels it's strong enough or powerful enough, it doesn't have to abide by any international order. It wants to establish its own order.
Well, and the
administration.
Okay, well, and the U.S. has really played into this, as you mentioned, for what was it?
40 years.
For 40 years. So the U.S. has played into that, both sides of the aisle. And it looked like nothing was going to change that, that China was going to continue to get more and more power. And then Trump comes along, and we've certainly seen people on both sides of the aisle, again, that have really pushed back on Trump and the things that he's doing. We've seen it in the media. But it looks like he's being effective, Helen Rawley.
So basically, at least his administration, so a couple of things, right? First is Trump, from the very beginning, he surrounded himself with the China hawks. Basically, these are the people who had been advocating take a tougher stand against the Communist Party for a long time. But previous administrations ignored that those advice. They continue want to have this blind for full engagement. So Trump surrounded himself with the hawks, from the very beginning. And even though, from time to time, he openly praised the Communist Party leader Xi, but if you look at his policies, the trade war, he was very tough. He was keep pounding on China for one round of tariff after another round until China ran out of ammunition that they had to agree to sign the first round of a trade deal, which was actually a very, very good deal for United States of America. I wrote a piece about it. But, of course, the implementation of that deal was delayed because of the coronavirus, the pandemic. So the whole piece of the idea is the Trump administration believes the law of the jungle, too, and not worry about using it. And they're willing to take the cost, they're willing to take the risks, and they're willing to bear the cost associated with it. Because the past administrations, and not just the United States, but even today, many countries around the world do not want to challenge China, push back on China's policy, because they worry about the cost, the danger, and the risk, right? Well, number one is the economic risk, because they don't want to lose access to the great Chinese market. And the second is they worry about the military risk. They do not want to antagonize someone with a billion people and have a very powerful military. And so the Trump administration is the only one so far showed its willingness, that it's willing to bear those costs, very evident through the trade war and also through the current policies. So Trump administration is willing to bear those costs and it's willing to push back. And that's why I say, the Communist China finally met its match, because now they finally hear Trump administration who's willing to defend the freedom, basically regardless of cost, or at least willing to bear more costs than any other administration and than any other government.
So, Helen Rawley, do you think that China is going to be trying to do anything to influence this particular election?
Well, I definitely think that they are waiting for, if anything, at least they're waiting for the next administration change, definitely, because the Trump administration has been sending punitive measures almost on a weekly basis, sanctioned human rights violations, sanctioned CCP members, and put an economic sanction there. So the only thing I can say is the Communist China is very eagerly waiting for much more friendlier administration. And I think they probably have their chips on Joe Biden.
Okay. Hal Van Herke, do you have a question for Helen?
Yeah, a question and a comment, I guess. I'm not a Chinese expert, so I could probably say something that she's not willing to say. I think there's a third level of confrontation that people are concerned about, and that's the soft power or the something less than warfare. And I think that's what we're going through right now. I think that the Chinese government is investing heavily in the amount of disruption that we're having going on in the United States right now. I think our own government is looking carefully into trying to map that money out, the money flow, and a lot of other things. But I don't think it's an accident that we have all of this polarization in our country. And I believe that we have a lot of influence going on from outside state actors, you know, especially China, but not necessarily only China, with a lot at stake in this next election and trying to influence the election as much as possible, not necessarily by trying to flip votes in the voting booth, but by trying to cause as much trouble and as much chaos and as much controversy on the street as they can.
So, Helen, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's probably right, but I have not, you know, I don't have a clearance, so I don't have access to those information. So I can only try to decipher information from what's widely available. Like I said, it's beneficial for China, obviously, that the current administration is gone. They have a more friendly administration. And so that's why I say, you know, they probably rooting for Joe Biden, but if just rooting for Joe Biden for words or if they actually take actions, that part I do not know. But I think after the election, we probably will know gradually. But for now, I don't have any clear, strong evidence to say that's even what happened. So I'm not going to speculate.
Okay. And I appreciate that, Helen, because I do speculate sometimes. And that's why I think that you are such an important author, is you so totally research things. You're searching for truth. You don't speculate. And I really appreciate that. We have just a couple of minutes on this particular subject, and that is, have you looked into the Biden connections with China? I continue to see things in the news about that. Is that anything that you've researched?
I haven't researched the particular about the Biden's connection with China, but I can tell you that if Joe Biden was elected, the team he's right now rumored to put together in terms of foreign policy has a very poor track record of dealing with China effectively. excuse me, have a frog in my throat.
It's early.
For example, he was talking about have a Susan, you know, he's the two top choices for the Secretary of State. Why is Susan Rice? Well, we know Susan Rice was the former President Obama's National Security Advisor, and it was under her watch, you know, China greatly expanded into South China Sea, basically built, reclaimed over 3,000 acres of land and control 90% of the South China Sea under their watch and pretty much did not, you know, get opposed from the Obama administration at all. It was under her watch. So now it was too late to push back in China on the South China Sea. So that's her failure. And another one, Joe Biden's top choice is Samantha Power. Samantha Power was the ambassador to the United Nations under the Obama administration, and she rose to fame for advocate for cover Yugoslav war and for advocate for human rights. And the other day, in my article about the TikTok, you know, she retweeted a tweet from Vogue, out of all things. Vogue had this conspiracy theory basically saying that Trump tried to ban TikTok because he didn't like one of the TikTok users. It's just totally ridiculous. Like, and this is somebody who's going to become the Secretary of State if Joe Biden wins, and that their hatred for Trump totally blind their eyesight for and mind for look at what is a good policy, look at a national security risk, and those are his two top choices. And Biden, you know, Biden himself has been in public life for how many years?
50
years.
Mm-hmm.
And what accomplishment he had to show for? Now let's just strictly focus on foreign policy. What accomplishment for United States has to show for? So, I mean, I think that the voters really need to ask those serious questions. I can tell you now, if Trump loses and Joe Biden wins, this is going to be a total reversal of our policies to China. And that's my biggest worry, is we don't have a consistency with policies towards the Communist Party. And that's what they're waiting for. You know, they think it's just currently just a temporary storm. It's going to go past and everything's going to go back to normal. If everything go back to normal, then 20 years or maybe 10 years from now that China is, you know, communist China is going to rule the world, that, you know, there's no turning back.
Wow. With that, Helen Raleigh, let's go to break. And that's really a perfect segue into this other piece that you've just written, What TikTok Hides Beneath Its Addicting Little Videos Should Scare You. And so this is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. In studio with me is Hal Van Herkey, owner of Castlegate Knives, new partner of The Kim Munson Show. We're talking with Helen Raleigh, immigrant from China, a senior contributor at The Federalist. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You get first look at all that we're doing the next week. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is my friend Helen Raleigh. She is a senior contributor at The Federalist. She has written several books, among them Confucius Never Said and The Broken Welcome Mat. And her most recent piece at The Federalist, What TikTok Hides Beneath Its Addicting Little Videos Should Scare You. So tell us about this whole thing, Helen Raleigh.
Sure. So for people who are not familiar with TikTok, which you really have to be living under a rock, so I've never heard of a TikTok, it's a very, very popular app, especially among young people. 40% of the users are people between 16 to 24. So it's very popular among young people. It's a app to allow you to do like very short, less than a minute, videos for like lip syncing and dancing, etc. So something goofy and silly and fun. So it looks fun from the, you know, from the surface, and it has become even more popular when during the pandemic when more people doing this at home, young people doing this at home. But there are serious security risks, a number of risks I should say involved with this app. First, it had a security risk with the personal information. It's like any other social media companies that collect tons of information of its users, and it does not do a good job of safeguarding their information. An internet research company just in January this year discovered a serious loopholes and security weaknesses in this app that could easily allow malicious cyber crime. Somebody who wants to commit a cyber crime, you know, to go through those backdoor entries to steal information for users. And there also, last year, TikTok settled a fine with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission for for collecting and exposing information of very young children. So those are typical, typical social media companies. But what really makes TikTok different from like Facebook, like, you know, Twitter, is that it's a parent company. It's owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. This Chinese company, so first of all, in China, under its national security laws, all companies, including internet companies, so including TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, they all have to provide information to Chinese authorities when demanded, right? So basically this means if the Chinese authority wants any users' information from ByteDance about TikTok users, ByteDance has to provide it. And so that's an inherent risk. And then, so that's different. That's really set apart TikTok from all those other social media companies that we're familiar with. And then there's something even something that's more sinister. TikTok not only is obligated to share information with the Chinese government, but also it's actively support the Chinese Party. One of its vice it has a branch of a Chinese Communist Party committee inside the company. It's headed by one of its vice presidents. They have active meetings. They have active study sessions. Most of their participants are their employees, including many of the senior management. And they'll also actively support the Chinese government policies and propagandas. There are researchers from Australia discovered that Biden play a very active role to help the Beijing's policy in Xinjiang persecution, the persecution of the Uyghur Muslims. And so this is something. So this is another concern, right? And the third concern is the censorship. So TikTok, so ByteDance has two video apps. One is exclusive for the Chinese users, and TikTok is their version for users outside of China. And so, for users outside China, they apply the same type of censorship. For example, there are reporters who tried to post short videos of the tank man, the gentleman who stood before rows of tanks in 1989 on Tiananmen Square. Well, so what they found out was TikTok did a shadow ban, so only the owner who posts this video can see the video. They had a trouble to share it, to distribute it. So basically, they put a shadow ban there. And another user who's very popular is a star of a TikTok. And she basically posted a short video criticizing China's human rights abuse against the Uyghur Muslims. And TikTok closed her account. So after the outcry from media, they reopened it. But this user, you know, she's an American citizen. She has constitution protected, you know, freedom of expression. And TikTok, they should abide by American law. They have no business to censor what American can or cannot say.
Wow.
And another thing, the most sinister part, I was reminded by another Chinese journalist, is, you know, remember, majority of the users TikTok, especially in America, are young people. And, you know, it's fun when you're young, you make a silly and goofy videos. You know, you may say or do something you're going to regret, be embarrassed later. And keep in mind, these are all the information that is collecting and someday, you know, had to be shared with the Chinese government. So imagine you're 16-year-old, you do something silly, and 20 years from now, you become the senator of, you know, foreign policy commission, or you're running for the president, right? And the Chinese government can come back, use the silly videos, you know, information you feel embarrassed about in the past to come back to blackmail you. And that is a serious risk.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are so many risks associated with this app. That's why just from a national security standpoint alone, you know, we should either ban it or, as the current approach, you know, have a U.S. company like Microsoft purchase this portion it from the Chinese company, and at least make sure the users' data, information will abide by the U.S. law, will not subject to the searches and the possessions of the Chinese company. And those are important.
Well, and this is, you can get all this information in this important piece that you have at The Federalist. We only have a couple of minutes, Helen, but Hal had a question for you. So, Hal?
Yeah, it's not so much about TikTok. It's kind of going back to our previous conversation about this long, you know, the long struggle between Western ideals and the Communist Party power block within China. And I get, you know, in one of the industries that, you know, with Castlegate Knife and Tool, we're very much consumer oriented. So one of the things we see constantly on forums and on Facebook groups all over the world is this debate about whether or not consumers should be boycotting Chinese goods as a way to try to protest the Chinese Communist Party or to slow down their economic expansion, and or whether or not that just damages the Chinese people, because we know that not everybody in China is in the Communist Party, and for the most part, people in China are very nice, kind, enthusiastic, energetic people. So I just was curious what your thought on that, on boycotts on the consumer level was.
And Helen, you've got a minute to answer that big question.
Yeah, that's a big question. So first, I agree with you that we should always make a distinction between the government and the people. And I think a wide range of the boycott will definitely hurt the economy, not only just China's economy, but the U.S. economy. And not only just the Chinese people, but also U.S. Consumers, because our economy is so intertwined. And so I do not support a wide range of boycotts, but I think if there are companies we know for sure with the evidence that they are involved as part of the human rights abuse, for example, if they use forced laborers from Uyghur Muslims to produce their goods and try to sell them in the United States, or they actively participate in surveillance, you know, of the Uyghur Muslims or even the greater Chinese population, then definitely we should boycott them. And also, I think what the current administration's approach have a very targeted sanction. For example, the government has been sanctioned Chinese Communist Party members and have sanctions against people who we know committed the human rights abuse and the technology company employees. Those are very targeted. To me, the damage is much more limited when we have very targeted sanctions. So I think that, that is a much better approach, to have a targeted sanction to punish the people who we know they're committed a human rights abuse, or they, you know, have a malicious intent, rather than have a wide range of boycott.
Great answer, Helen Raleigh. Thank you so much. And you can get the podcast for this tomorrow on my website. Hal Van Herky, thank you so much for being in studio. Helen Raleigh, thanks so much for being on the line.
Thank you, Kim.
Have a great day. And our quote for today is from Confucius. He says, "The will to win, the desire to succeed, the urge to reach your full potential. These are the keys that will unlock the door to personal excellence." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.